It is Elliot's. Mr. Fall.
Good morning. May it please the court, Brian Fall, Federal Defender Services, on behalf of Peter Elliot. The issue we have before the court today is a very discreet one. It's whether the district court should have considered evidence of Mr. Elliot's mental state during the commission of a bank robbery when it denied acceptance of responsibility points. In other words, did his mental state during the commission of that bank robbery, is that evidence against his remorse as to the other federal crime?
What are we to make of his guilty plea then?
Nothing in this case. I think the outcome of the state.
No, I mean, in the Wisconsin case,
yes,
the bank robbery.
I think that is not dispositive no matter the outcome. I think in the end it will be evidence that the district judge should consider. Including the report of Dr. Pankiewicz, who did the NGI report in that case.
No, really, what is left of his argument, of your argument at this point? Really, what do you want to do?
I think the standards are so different. The question is whether or not he exhibited remorse, not whether or not he was competent. Now, granted, if you're not competent, you wouldn't necessarily say that.
Well, I don't understand. Are you saying if someone is a lunatic and as a result, incapable of accepting responsibility, he nevertheless gets an acceptance of responsibility discount? Isn't that what your argument comes down to?
I think that the issue of whether or not you've accepted responsibility and exhibited remorse is a discrete question that the district court should consider taking into account of all the evidence.
Well, then it's a big question if he takes account of everything. Go ahead.
It is a rare moment. I want it on tape. Judge Posner just allowed me to ask a question. Look, how can someone argue for remorse for his original crime when he goes out, he's already done the bank such, you know, so much harm by embezzling that unbelievable amount of money or whatever he was doing there. And then he goes and he robs a bank? I mean, where's the remorse?
And, Your Honor, this isn't that unusual. The Sixth Circuit, for example, the law in the Sixth Circuit is that you can commit, its remorse is offense-specific.
Wait a minute. One of the conditions of his being out was that he refrain from committing other crimes.
Right. There's no doubt that the bank robbery was committed by him.
And if he's competent to plead guilty, then it seems to me it undermines your effort to show that his frame of mind somehow deserves consideration.
And I agree that if it were to be remanded, that the judge, I think the success would be unlikely. But as it stands.
No, you don't want us to do that to Judge Randa. You do not want, you need to go back in there.
I understand, but as it stands, this issue was raised three times by trial counsel, and it was not addressed by the court. And so the sentencing record ignores this factor. And I think the sentencing record, which encompasses the sentence in this case, needs to be clarified so that the judge can either address it or say it's not a factor that, you know, but it was raised, and it was raised three times by a trial counsel, that his mental state, and just because he was allowed to plead guilty in state court, we don't know, at least the district judge doesn't know what factors, I mean, what psychological characteristics that allow might allow you to go forward with a guilty
plea. You're saying, in effect, suppose he robs a bank, and then he murders someone. And then his argument is, this is your, you know, offense-specific, I'm a murderer. I'm not a robber, and I'm really sorry about that robbery. It was out of character for me.
Well, I mean, that's your argument, right?
That's your argument. Yeah, you know, remorse is offense-specific.
And it is. And if, but if you, if the district judge were to find that this bank robbery was done volitionally and with intent, then it would show that
you
failed to show remorse.
You know, Hitler was an animal rights guy, and if he ran down a squirrel or something, he'd probably feel remorseful.
Well, there you go. So you don't sentence him very much for the squirrel killing.
You know, remorse is the ultimate question here, and if the judge did not consider whether how the state court proceedings, including his mental state, which was raised by counsel, impacted his remorse in this case.
Well, what is mental state? I don't understand the mental state. You have to have a specific mental state to be denied acceptance of responsibility. Is that your proposition?
Yes. That the,
what if
the
you're mental? Act. What if you're some kind of paranoid schizophrenic and you just never accept responsibility for anything you do? You're incapable of it psychiatrically. Does that mean you get an acceptance of responsibility?
Well, I think it would. That would be up to the judge to decide in each particular case.
No, I don't understand you. I'm giving you all the relevant facts. This person is psychiatrically incapable of accepting responsibility for anything he does. So does that entitle him to an acceptance of responsibility?
Well,
yes or no? Yes or no? Does
no.
it entitle?
He would not be entitled, but not based on the extra conduct outside of his case in federal court. What you're saying is that he wouldn't be able to accept it on his initial case.
Could you concisely say to me, pretend I'm Judge Randa. Hello, Mr. Fall. what is your argument?
My argument, Your Honor, is that when Mr. Elliott committed the bank robbery, his mental state, whether the question of whether or not this bank robbery was entirely volitional or was the genesis of some psychological trauma, that you need to consider when determining whether or not he accepted responsibility in this fraud case.
Mr. Ball, go back to your office now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Fall. Mr. Hanstead?
May it please the Court. Gregory Hanstead for the United States. The district court here denied the defendant credit for acceptance of responsibility based on its finding that the defendant had committed additional criminal conduct between the time of his guilty plea and his sentencing. He based that decision on information that was in the pre-sentence report and information that was in the two criminal complaints that charged the state offenses. That information included the eyewitness accounts of two victim bank tellers. It included the account of an officer who arrested the defendant in a school parking lot in a car across the street from the same bank that the defendant had robbed 10 days earlier. The car that the defendant was in matched the description of the car that was involved in the robbery at that bank.
Look, he's pled guilty. We know all this. You know,
so the district judge finds by a preponderance of the evidence at that stage of the game, he hadn't pled guilty yet, that
correct.
Indeed it was Mr. Elliott who had robbed the bank, and he thought that was inconsistent with, I suppose, the element of abandoning a criminal career that
right.
one needs to think of.
Right.
Yeah.
And the defendant argues that the district court should have considered his mental state at the time that he committed the offense. But if you look at the record, the defendant has never offered any evidence of his mental state at the time
that
he committed the
state offenses. Yeah, but wait a minute. Mr. Fall really did raise an interesting question, I think, for a law school exam. What happens when a defendant claims he didn't have a sufficient mens rea to commit a crime? Can a court consider the conduct anyway in assessing acceptance of responsibility?
Sure, the court can consider it. But here again, all that happened was the defendant pointed to the fact that he had entered a plea of not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect. He didn't, in the context of the federal case, call any witnesses or present any evidence that he in fact was suffering from a mental disease or defect or that he was unable to form the requisite mental state.
Do you think, at least in theory, if he had done that, if he had brought in a bunch of outside testimony or perhaps he'd shown that he was so out of it on drugs or other substances that he had no idea what he was doing, that might negate the mens rea for the second crime and still be consistent with acceptance of responsibility on the first. Okay.
Mm.
But again, here, none of that type of evidence was presented. In fact, the defendant noted that the psychological evaluation in support of that state court plea was due to be reviewed in state court on December 13th of 2010, about 5 weeks after his federal sentencing. So that hadn't even taken place yet. So given the information that the district court had before it, it did not err in denying the defendant credit for acceptance of responsibility. And, in fact, now that the defendant has changed that not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect plea to a plea of guilty, really I think the entire basis for the appeal has evaporated. And unless the court has any further questions.
Okay. Thank you very much. And, Mr. Paul, you were appointed, were you not? So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of the client. In our last case.